This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. In today's episode, we'll take a look back at Game Week 6 to start off with, and we'll talk all the key performers and results, and there were some big ones in there, before I'll give you my Star of the Week and Flop of the Week. Then we'll be turning our attentions to Game Week 7. We'll run through the fixture list, we'll discuss the in-form players to consider for this game week and future game weeks, potential transfers, we'll talk captaincy and differentials, and we'll finish off as always with my likely team ahead of Game Week 7. So, let's get into it. Right then, let's kick things off with a look back at Game Week 6. Palace 0, Fulham 0. Not the most entertaining of games to start off with, but don't worry, it gets better. Clean sheets for Johnston and Leno, the two keepers here, and Eze is very much the underperforming asset at Palace. Moving swiftly on, we've got Luton 1, Wolves 1, a Morris penalty delivered for Luton, and that will please owners of him or people considering becoming owners of him ahead of Luton's double game week this week, which we'll touch on a little bit more. Kabore with the assist as well, another popular asset at the promoted side. Wolves got their goal through Pedro Neto, who continues to perform well for them as well. Manchester City 2, Nottingham Forest 0. Foden and Haaland with the goals. But it was Alvarez who disappointed for us this week. He blanked and he actually came off after 56 minutes. So he didn't complete the 60 to get his second point. Just the 1 point from him. And that was all really thanks to Rodri's red card, meaning Pep had to switch things up once Manchester City went down to 10 men. And Awoniyi's run of returns finally comes to an end. A blank for him and a blank for Forrest. Brentford 1, Everton 3, and the Toffees finally back to winning ways. Three different goal scorers for them, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Doucouré and Tarkowski all on the score sheet. Brentford looking a lot weaker since they lost Rico Henry. Playing in that wing-back role, he gets forward really, really well and delivers a lot of dangerous balls into the box for the likes of Wissa and Mbeumo. But unfortunately, without him there, we're seeing Mbeumo play a lot deeper and that is really impacting their ability to attack. So that is definitely a concern for owners of him. Burnley 0, Manchester United 1. Manchester United were pretty underwhelming, but they eventually got the win with a great strike from Bruno Fernandes. And I think this really goes to show that even when teams are not performing particularly well, if they're getting goals, they often have attacking assets for FPL managers to take advantage of. It was also quite nice to see Johnny Evans back at the heart of Manchester United's defence. He actually got himself a clean sheet, 3 bonus points and an assist. So that's not too bad for a 4 million starting defender at Manchester United. Moving on now to definitely the game of the weekend, if not the game of the season so far. Arsenal 2, Tottenham 2. Madison providing for Son twice after coming from behind twice. Saka with an assist in the first half for a Romero own goal. That started the goal scoring in this one. And in the second half, Saka slotted home a penalty as well. But it wasn't all roses for Saka or Madison. Both of them failing to complete the 90 minutes. Both picking up knocks. And we'll have to keep an eye out for any information that comes out in the Friday press conferences for confirmation as to how fit they are to start ahead of game week 7. Brighton 3, Bournemouth 1. Solanke getting the early goal for Bournemouth. He continues to deliver FPL points fairly regularly at the moment. But Brighton had to work hard and they eventually ground out the win with an own goal and then two late goals from Mitoma. Estupiñán assisting one of those. Don't forget Brighton also in Europe this season, so I fully expect even more rotation from them. Chelsea 0, Aston Villa 1. Chelsea assets really look like ones to steer well clear of at the moment. massively under-delivering. Chelsea just don't look right at all at the moment, not playing well. And so many FPL managers brought the likes of Nicholas Jackson, Ben Chilwell, Raheem Sterling into their teams. And I'm sure most of them will be looking to offload those players if they haven't done so already. I've already got Chilwell and Colwell in my defence, and I'll definitely be looking to sell Chilwell fairly soon, I think. He seems to be dropping in value, and the money could definitely be spent better elsewhere. Villa, on the other hand, continue to look like a team full of good FPL options, with Watkins getting back to goal-scoring ways, and Matty Cash and Diaby also doing very well this season so far. Liverpool 3, West Ham 1. Darwin, Jota and Salah with the goals in that ever-changing front three. Very difficult to predict for FPL managers who's going to get the minutes for Liverpool up front. Bowen getting the goal for West Ham. He definitely is pretty much West Ham's only source of goals this season, so he feels like the only reliable FPL asset there. Sheffield United 0, Newcastle 8. Yes, EIGHT, 8 goals for Newcastle. And incredibly, 8 different goal scorers. Almiron, Botman, Bruno Guimaraes, Dan Byrne, Anthony Gordon, Isak, Longstaff and Wilson all getting on the score sheet. And a hat-trick of assists for Kieran Trippier, the Newcastle skipper, with an 18-point return this week. So there you have it. That's the Game Week 6 results. Star of the week, I've just mentioned him. There's no one else it can possibly go to. It's going to Kieran Trippier, the highest scorer of Game Week 6, an 18-point return for the Newcastle captain after his hat-trick of assists, a clean sheet, and 3 bonus points to boot. An honourable mention should also go, I think, to Manchester United's Johnny Evans for his rather surprising 12-point return. Flop of the week now, and it could have gone to Alvarez, who frustrated approximately a million managers who brought him in for this home game against Forest, and he just delivered a 1-point return for all of them. But I'm afraid it's got to go to Ben Chilwell for his repeat performance of another 0-pointer from the bench. The yellow card and no return really does hurt again this week. And then to top it all off, he managed to get himself flagged for an injury this week, just when we thought he might be actually getting back into that Chelsea starting team with all of their other problems on the field and injuries. But he picked up a knock during League Cup action during the week, and he's now a doubt to be fit ahead of Game Week 7. So Ben Chilwell gets flop of the week. Right then, time to turn our attentions to Game Week 7. The deadline, Saturday the 30th of September at 11 a.m. UK time. I'll quickly run through the fixture list. We've got Aston Villa versus Brighton, Bournemouth versus Arsenal, Everton versus Luton, Manchester United at home to Palace, Newcastle take on Burnley, West Ham host Sheffield United, Wolves versus Manchester City, and Spurs taking on Liverpool. And then on Sunday, we've got Nottingham Forest against Brentford. Monday Night Football sees Fulham hosting Chelsea. And then the double game week concludes with Luton hosting Burnley for both of their second fixtures this game week. So, looking at a couple of standout fixtures for Game Week 7 and some informed players to consider, Manchester United's attacking options will definitely be looking to feast on that Crystal Palace side after comfortably beating them already in midweek in the League Cup, a 3-0 victory for Manchester United there. So I'm sure the likes of Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford and even Rasmus Højlund will be very appealing options for many FPL managers. Newcastle are at home against Burnley, which is definitely a fixture that many FPL managers will be looking to attack. Now, most people will have first brought in Newcastle defenders as there's not as much rotation there in terms of minutes. However, after playing Manchester City in the League Cup in midweek, they actually beat them 1-0. They have actually picked up a few more injury concerns. Botman and Dan Byrne are now flagged as injury concerns, alongside Bruno Guimaraes, Wilson and Isak. So both attacking and defensive options starting to look a little bit limited. What I will say is that Harvey Barnes' long-term injury could mean that Anthony Gordon becomes a very popular pick. He has much less competition now out on that wing. And of course, you have Trippier if you want the slightly more expensive defensive option at Newcastle. I'd definitely be expecting more goals from both Spurs and Liverpool as two of the more in-form attacking sides go head-to-head this weekend. Attacking assets, the most popular, obviously Maddison and Son. Kulusevski becoming a really important part of Tottenham's attack as well, though, so he's definitely one to consider if you want to go for a slightly more differential pick. And with Liverpool assets, if you don't have Mo Salah, then you're probably going to have to take a bit of a punt on one of the other attacking options, whether it be Darwin, Jota, Luis Diaz or Gakpo. Unfortunately, they can't all start, and there always seems to be some form of rotation amongst them all. Or you could go for someone with slightly more reliable minutes like a Szoboszlai in midfield, who does like to get forward and create a lot as well. Manchester City are away at Wolves. That won't be the easiest of fixtures for them, but attacking options always look appealing there as well. And of course, there is the small matter of the first double game week of the season. Luton and Burnley both play twice in game week 7. Luton have Everton away and then Burnley at home. And Burnley have Newcastle away and then Luton away. Now, I can see why some managers would be tempted by double game week assets, and in particular, the likes of Morris and Kabore at Luton. But I personally don't think I'm going to be going there. When it comes to double game weeks, you've really just got to ask yourself, do you think this player will actually return FPL points this week? Or am I just hoping that the odds are increasing that he's going to return because he's playing twice? If we take Morris at Luton as an example, he plays Everton away and Burnley at home, and he's on penalties. So there is a reasonable chance that he will get a return for you in this game week. However, if you don't already have him, you then have to ask yourself, is it worth using up a free transfer to get him in? Because once you've got him in, you're then kind of stuck with a 5.5 million forward who you will then have to either bench, which doesn't feel like a great use of that money, play, which doesn't feel great because he's not going to be one of your more reliable assets week in, week out, or use up one of your future transfers or even a wild card to replace him and restructure your side. So it's not always as straightforward as whether or not you think a player will deliver in a double game week or not. If you've currently got an underperforming striker in that position already, someone like a Nicholas Jackson, I don't think it's a bad move at all to go for someone like Morris. However, you should be considering an exit strategy from a player like him in the not too distant future. If you are planning on wildcarding in the next international break, then again, not the worst decision in the world to go for a double game week player for this week. In terms of potential transfers for myself this game week, I'm still undecided as to whether or not I'm going to replace Ben Chilwell or not. I'll be keeping an eye out for any information that comes out of the Friday press conferences with regards to both Chilwell's fitness status and also any potential replacements. So I'll be looking at Newcastle defenders. I can't afford Trippier, unfortunately, so I'll be looking at a Botman or a Cher. And I might even go with Matty Cash at Aston Villa. However, what I will say is Villa face Brighton this game week, so I don't see too much chance of a clean sheet there. If you do have the money to bring in Kieran Trippier, I would definitely go ahead and do that over all of those options. He does feel like the best defensive option for the foreseeable future. Another reason to keep an eye out for injury updates in the Friday press conferences is just the sheer number of players who are flagged with either injuries or fitness concerns ahead of game week 7. It is completely understandable why so many managers are considering wildcarding this game week. I personally will be holding off, although I do have 3 players who are a doubt. I've got Chilwell, who's flagged, and also Saka and Madison. But I'll be holding off, seeing what the pressers say on Friday about some of those injury concerns that I have. But I can't see me using my wild card before game week 9, and I might even possibly hold it until a lot later on. Let's take a brief look now at captaincy ahead of game week 7. And the first question we always seem to ask ourselves is, who does Haaland play this week? Well, Manchester City are away at Wolves, which isn't the easiest of fixtures, but Haaland does seem pretty fixture proof. So it's a bit of a risk to go against him. If you do fancy taking that risk, couple of options I would look at, potentially Bruno Fernandes. Manchester United are at home against Palace. That's not the worst alternative. And also Saka is away at Bournemouth this game week. So another fairly good option. But Haaland is definitely the standout choice for captaincy this week. Let's take a look now at some differentials. And I'm going to give you, as usual, 3 players, 5% owned or less, that could really set you apart from the rest of your mini leagues. The first one I'm putting forward is Gabriel Jesus. He looks to be back in that starting 11 at Arsenal. He's 7.9 million if you can stretch to that for one of your forward options, and he's just 3.6% owned. He's got Bournemouth away this game week, although he does then have City and Chelsea up after that. So not the easiest run of fixtures for Arsenal. Next up, I'm going to suggest Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And I do so with a bit of a smile on my face because his fitness concerns leave a lot to be desired. But if he can get himself into Everton's starting 11, he's just 5.8 million. He's less than 1% owned, and Everton have got Luton and Bournemouth in their next 2 games, both at home. So if there was ever a chance that this man can find himself back in goal-scoring form, it's now. But he's got to find his way back into the starting 11 at Everton first. He's had a couple of appearances off the bench in a row, so he's starting to get back to match fitness. Let's see if he can get himself into the starting 11. And if he can, and you fancy having a punt on that, then he's not a bad differential in the short term at all. And finally, I'm going to suggest Anthony Gordon at Newcastle. He's currently just 4.9% owned, which is a bit of a surprise because at just 5.6 million, and with that Harvey Barnes injury that I mentioned earlier, I'm expecting that ownership to rocket very soon. He's got a likely starting spot in that Newcastle side. They've got good fixtures and plenty of goals in them. Right then, as always, we'll finish off this episode with my likely team ahead of game week 7. Now, if I roll my transfer and don't make any more changes, I will go into game week 7 with Onana in goal, Manchester United at home against Crystal Palace, a back 3 of Gabriel away at Bournemouth, and then 2 Chelsea defenders, can't believe I'm saying that, Chilwell and Colwill, both away at Fulham. So if they do play, they do have a good chance of a clean sheet. The big question is, will Chilwell play? I fear he won't, in which case my first choice defender at the moment is Estupiñán for Brighton, who are away at Villa. A midfield 5, I've got Son and Madison at home against Liverpool. Not an easy fixture, but I'm not too fearful of Liverpool's defence, and I definitely think Son and Madison can get returns, like we saw against Arsenal. Arsenal midfielder Saka also in my midfield alongside Foden and Bruno Fernandes, and a front 2 of Haaland and Julian Alvarez. The captain's armband on Haaland. My bench is Matt Turner, Estupiñan, Bea, who has the double game week, but currently I'm choosing not to play him. I just don't think there are going to be too many clean sheets or returns for a Burnley defender when they're away twice, and one of them is against Newcastle. And finally, Mubama on my bench. Right then, that just about wraps everything up for this episode of One Stop FPL. A reminder once again of the deadline for Game Week 7, Saturday the 30th of September at 11 a.m. UK time. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at AndyJAudio and also at One Stop FPL. Best of luck to everyone ahead of Game Week 7. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week.